welcome to the Empower Church podcast. My name's Matt Garner, and I'm the pastor at Empower Church here in Melbourne, Australia. We're so glad you've joined us today, and I am believing that today's message is not only going to inspire you and encourage you, but it's going to empower, equip, and challenge you to be everything that God has called you to be. Hey, if you want more information about what we're up to at Empower Church, just jump on our website, empowerchurch.co, and all the details are there. We really hope that you enjoy the message.
Praise God. Isn't that good? Ben, you want to share what happened to you?
So, well, not long ago, to be honest, I think it was just before March. So I got enrolled into uni very late, and it's Diploma of Business. Next year I wanted to go to aviation, so it's my pathway into it. So I was grateful for it, but I was struggling to get into uni for a little while, and then, yeah, I got my way. And then money was a problem. I never really thought about the fees, because as a New Zealand citizen, you can't get HEC straight away, and that's how it is. So you can't fight it, nothing. Yeah, and then one day I asked Ehab, spoke to Ehab, and then Auntie Derica. I spoke to them about the problem, because we have our own problems. I didn't want to involve Mum, so I was stressed. Things were going wrong. I'm like, ugh. So what was it? I think it was early March. Auntie Derica, she goes, there might be a breakthrough. And then I was like, okay. So I was hanging on tight. We're both hanging on tight. And then it was getting close. And then the fee due date was March 14th. And then I remember on March 14th, Auntie Derica calls me. She goes, are you with Mum? And I go, no, I'm not with Mum. I'll go find her, because Mum was cooking. And I just go, I go to Mum. And then she goes, just sit down. So we sit down. And she just goes, it is well. It is well. That's all she said. And it was amazing. The biggest feeling, honestly, the best feeling ever. Because Mum, I went to Mum all the time. And I was on the verge of tears. I tell you, thinking about my fees, how I'm going to pay for those fees. $16,000, I can't do that myself. I'm trying to pay for a car, things like that, you know, turning 18, things like that. So I was just concerned the entire time, stressing. I couldn't focus on uni. I'm going to uni thinking, oh, well, I'm probably going to be out of here soon, because I can't pay for these fees. But then miraculously, I don't know how it happened. I don't know who did it, but I know it was God, because God put that on someone's heart to pay those fees for me. I don't know who it was still, but someone did that for me. That's all I can say. And for me, that's a testimony I can take with me anywhere. I can take that with me anywhere, and I can say, this is how God's worked for me. He's real. I can take this to anybody, any of my friends who don't believe, and say, hey, this is what happened. This happened for me. This can happen for you too. Believe in him. And those words, it is well. It is well is all that matters. You can believe in that. You hold that with you. It is well, because it was well. I struggled to believe, and that was my test of faith. Pastor Matt was talking about one of the services. He was saying, trials will strengthen your faith. And that strengthened my faith so much, because I was doubting that the fees were going to be paid. I thought I was out of there. March 14th, the due date, we get a call. It is well. The fees are paid. Whoever that is, bless you. I really wish I knew who it was. Bless you. Because you've saved a lot for me. You've set up my life in a way that I can't even imagine. Whoever it was, honestly. All right? So I've got a very similar thing to you as well. So I can resonate with you on that. And it's nice to hear that someone else is the same thing working for them too. So yeah, all I can say is praise God, and it is well.
Preach, preacher. Come on, why don't we just give God glory? Because he is a good God. Amen? He is a good God. He is so good. Anyone got some financial things, maybe a wedding to pay for, or maybe something going on? We're just going to believe with you right now, by faith, that God's going to just provide for you supernaturally. If that's you, just quickly stand to your feet. It's Easter. Yeah, I know. I saw you guys. You should be standing, Ramon. Come on. Come on, anyone. You got a financial need that you're like, I'm not sure how this is going to be met, but I just need to believe God for something today. We want to stand in faith with you today. I taught you last week that in testimony is the spirit of prophecy. As we testify, we prophesy of God's ability to do it again. Amen. No one else? You're all sweet? Well, I'm going to stand up for myself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these amazing testimonies. And we just thank you, Father, that you're able to do it again. You're able to do it again. So we bless you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're just funding kingdom work and activity. Father, you're setting people up with jobs. You're setting people up with provision. And we just give you praise and glory for that today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, awesome. Thanks, Mike, for standing. It's good. There's a few over here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Cool just came to me in the break just quickly. And Cool's got a wonderful ministry and as an evangelist and prays for a lot of sick people and they get healed. So I'm going to invite Cool to just come up. We're just going to, but if you're unwell this morning, would you stand to your feet? We want to pray for you today. I told you, it's about the resurrection power of Jesus. If that's you, just quickly stand to your feet, whatever it might be. Let us pray for you. Believe that God's going to touch you. Believe that God's going to heal you. Come on, don't be shy. You're good. You're good. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. And that plan is not to be sick. Amen. Amen. Come over, Cool. Come and pray over these people this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you just focus on the cross? It's because of the cross we are here. And it's because of the cross that you can come and Jesus is going to meet your need. So I take authority over every sickness and every infirmity. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I break its power to dominate over your life. So right now, thank you, Lord, for your healing power coming upon each one. From the top of the head, right through to the body. There are many people who are not standing, who should be standing. You receive it as well. Because I see blood pressure going down right now. I see somebody with a heart disease, and that's being healed right now. Other things, bone structures and ligaments, let the healing power of the Holy Spirit come and touch you now. Mental problems, I speak the flooding of the Holy Spirit upon your mind. And even if I haven't called it out, just receive whatever you need right now, because He is good and totally good. Let His power come, dominate over you right now, touch you, heal you until completion, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. Well, God is good. I want to give you a quick lesson. And sounds like school, doesn't it? Sounds like something weird. But I want to talk. I felt, as I was just thinking about this morning, I felt historically on Resurrection Sunday, so easy to preach something really inspiring. At the end of the day, it is literally the most inspiring day that we celebrate as the Christian church. I like Christmas, but I love Easter, because the centrality of who we are as followers of Jesus just revolves around what He came for, which was to die on the cross, to be resurrected, come back to life. And so I felt, as I was thinking about this morning, I was reminded of that scripture. You've heard me quote it many times, but people perish for a lack of knowledge. People don't perish for a lack of inspiration. They perish because they don't know what they need to know. And so I want you to write these six things down really quickly about what the cross has done for you and for me. And then I'm going to talk about a few of them. There's more than six, but here are kind of six key ones. Number one, what has the cross of Jesus done? Why did Jesus die upon a cross? Number one, for the atonement of sin. We'll just keep it blank for a minute. Sorry, Esther. I'll come back to those in a sec. Number two, He was fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. Number three, it was a demonstration of His love for us. So number one is the atonement of sin. Number two is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Number three is the demonstration of God's love. Number four is it was victory over sin and death. Number five, the cross ushered in and brought us into a new covenant. And number six, the cross brought about reconciliation between God and humanity. The powerful work of the cross. Death couldn't hold him. The grave could not keep him. Hell had to just sit there and listen. All sickness and infirmity bowed before him. Sin was completely broken. This is the power of the cross. The power of the cross. So number one, the atonement of sin. What does that word atonement mean? It's a big kind of weird spiritual theology type of word. And the word atonement simply just means pardon. It simply means forgiven. It simply means that it has appeased or that it has released. So when atonement for sins has happened, what the scriptures are telling us, what the Bible, what the finished work of Jesus is telling us is that your sins and my sins have been pardoned. I want to tell you today that there is not one person under the sound of my voice, there is not one person that has ever been born outside of the person of Jesus that has not got a sinful nature within them. And if we compare our lives to others, to maybe those that commit heinous, terrible, awful, violent crimes, those that participate in war, those that live here and those that do that and those that do this, if we live our life comparing, say, bad and good, then we miss the very point of sin. Because the message of the cross and the message of atonement is certainly not about bad people becoming good people. That's not the point of the cross. The point of Jesus dying and resurrecting back to life wasn't so that bad people could become benevolent good people. The message of the cross, because the Bible teaches us that while we were still yet sinners, we were dead in our sin. We were dead in our sin. And so the message of Jesus, the message of the good news of Jesus, the reason why it's called the gospel, which simply means good news, the reason why we call it the good news of Jesus Christ is because he atoned for our sin. And what that means is that because we were born into sin, because we were born into sin, inherently it was inside of us. And if you and I are honest with ourselves, we know that we live with that sinful nature. We don't need a preacher to come, hellfire and brimstone, and tell us how bad we are. We don't. We know. I don't know about you, but I am a preacher and I live with my own humanity. So I know how much and how desperate I am in need for the work of the cross of Jesus in my life. It wasn't about making bad people good people. The church isn't meant to be a room full of good people. Now you're listening. The church, it wasn't about bad people becoming good. It was never about that. It was always about dead people becoming alive. It was always about the fact that you and I were dead in our sins. We were dead. We were guilty as charged. And as a result of being guilty, there had to be an atonement for our sin. And the Bible says, Esther, you can put it up there now, thanks. In 1 Peter chapter 22 and 24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we having died to sins, sorry, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Again in Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do this? He did this so that he could atone, so that he could pardon, so that he could release us from our sins. You know, I think one of the things that we've got to be mindful of, and I haven't spoken about this for a number of months now, but I think one of the things we absolutely have to be mindful of as followers of Jesus, sometimes we're so mindful of our sin. But God doesn't want us to be more mindful of our sin than we are on the finished work of Jesus. That's where holiness becomes legalism, where we're trying so hard to be like Him, so hard to do this, so hard to do that, so hard, let me pray this prayer, let me be at church every week, let me lift my hands and jump in the right parts of the songs, let me put some money in the offering bucket, let me do this and let me do that. But friend, all of your good works, no matter how good you are, no matter how good you are, could never atone for your sins. You might as well just go ahead and get free from that thought right now. Because if you don't get free from that thought right now, you're going to kill yourself trying. You're going to kill yourself trying to be right with God in your own strength. But the only way that you can be made right with God is by believing that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and understanding that your salvation is a free gift. It is an absolute work of grace. It's not by what your works, it's by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus. And so one of the first and one of the most foundational theological thoughts that you've got to know about the cross is that your sins have been atoned for. Can we go a little deeper? He got what you deserved so that we get what He deserved. You and I deserved hell. We deserved to live in guilt and shame and condemnation. And the Bible says that He bore that on His own body so that we could be made free. I once heard a preacher say, they were talking about what it means to be justified. And they had this nice little kind of saying that I think sums it up really well, because what the work of Jesus has done around atonement is it's justified us. We have been justified. So what that means is now when we stand before God, we were guilty of the sin, but Jesus bore that guilt and that shame. And so now what's happened is what? What's happened is we've been justified of our sins. And this preacher said it like this: it's just as if I'd never sinned. Don't you thank God for that? I know I do. Because now, just give me a little more on this, please, Erwin. Just a little more. Now, when we stand before God, God doesn't see us through our sin. He sees us justified. And what does that mean? That means that's why the Apostle Paul said we can approach His throne room boldly. Why? Because we've been justified, because it's just as if I had never sinned. So while you're out there striving, saying, I haven't prayed enough today, I haven't done enough today, I'm not sure if God's going to hear my prayers today, remember that the finished work of Jesus has atoned for your sin. He has paid the price for your sin and for my sin. He has made a way where there was no other way. You are now atoned. You are now right before God. You have been justified. And so when you pray, it's like God doesn't hear your prayers. He hears your prayers through the justification that's happened, because you have been made right in the sight of God. Let's just talk about two other things, and then we're going to finish today. the finished work or the cross of Jesus was the most, we're going to go to number three, was the most radical act of sacrificial love. For God so loved the world, I know you know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus did. The reason why we should continue to focus on the cross, and the reason why I want to draw your attention to it this morning as we come around and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, is because I want you to see the greatest act of sacrificial love that has ever happened in the work of Jesus on the cross. And can I say this? This is under the Spirit of God. This is prophetic. This is for someone here today. This is a word of knowledge in preaching right now. The church at times will chew you up, will spit you out. The church at times will hurt you, they'll offend you. People will do that. It's not about a gathering like this necessarily. It's just about an acknowledgement that broken people fill this church. I, as a pastor, am not perfect. I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to do things wrong. But the truth is you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. If you have an offense with the church, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. The thing that you need, that you've been distracted from, is the amazing, beautiful, perfect, sacrificial act of Jesus dying for you. Yes, for everybody, but let's just contextualize this morning. For your life. Some of you sitting next to friends or families or spouses, I'm speaking to all of you this morning, but really, I want these words to penetrate your heart today. Jesus died for you. And it was the greatest act of love. And it is my prayer today that the cross of Jesus inspires us. Not only does it inspire us to worship our risen Lord Jesus Christ, but it is my prayer that it inspires you and I to live our life in the same manner that Jesus did, where we're not trying to build up treasures on earth, but we're trying to build up treasures in heaven, where we're not living for our own lives and for more, and in this consumeristic society where it's just, I need this and I need that and I need that. It's my prayer that the cross, as we look at the work of Jesus, as we look at his life, that you would be inspired to be someone that says, how can I replicate his life? If you want to know what a Christian is and what true Christianity is and what it looks like, it doesn't look like Sunday attendance. It doesn't look like holy, pious prayers. It looks like the Bible teaches us feeding the poor, loving the unloved, accepting the marginalized. And it is my prayer today that the cross this Easter would inspire you onto acts of sacrificial love, onto acts of sacrifice, where you realize that the call to follow Jesus is hard at times. I'm trying to teach my 10-year-old son this. Dad, I'm a bit tired to be in church this morning, he says on the way. Mate, come on, sometimes you got to do hard things. Think about Jesus dying on the cross for you. That's where the preacher dad goes to me. Come on, bow your head, son, close your eyes. We're just in the Honda cruising. Raise your hand if that's you. But the truth is that Jesus paid it all. Please, can this come?
Can this just not be something we sing about, but can this be something that we truly live out as a community? The empty seats in this building, and I'm not trying to fill them, I don't really care. We don't count who's here or who's not here, but I'm just trying to help you to see it. The kingdom work of giving your life and laying down your life and sacrificing for others is infectious. And this room would be filled, every church building in Melbourne would be filled 10 times over if we stopped singing about His sacrificial love and we started living out His sacrificial love. Number four, and we'll just finish with this. You can do some research on the other ones yourself. Number four is victory over sin and death. The sting of death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, the sting of death is sin. What's that saying? That's helping us to understand that the result of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law. What's that trying to tell us? That's trying to help us to see that the law was actually given to Moses to help reveal sin. Okay? We won't go too deep this morning, but it was there to show us what sin looks like so that we could have some sort of measuring stick to show us how far away we were from God, not us personally, but in the Old Testament. But thanks be to God, look at that word, but. That's a beautiful word, right? But thanks be to God. So let's read it in context. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So if you're living out of the law and works, you're just enabling the sinful nature. You're on a merry-go-round there. You're never going to get free from sin. Because doing the right thing isn't getting you free from sin. The only thing that can get you free, if it could, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. But the only thing that can set you free from Jesus is the person of Jesus Himself, being that sacrificial lamb that was slain, that final sacrifice. That's the only way. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. In other words, that really sucks. Sin equaling death, the law, that really sucks. That's a hard life. Are you with me? Can I say that in church? Is that all right? Are you with me? You come on. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the one that gave us victory over sin and death. I said this last week and I didn't mean it to, it was, I maybe didn't say it in a way that was sensitive enough to what's been happening in our church community, but and with family members, and obviously I'm just not aware of everyone that's here, but I said last week that death is a gift that God gave humanity so that we don't die in our sins. Death is a gift from God that He gave us so that we don't live forever in our sins separated from God, right? No, I'm not saying death is a good thing. Death's terrible. It was never God's design for us to live in sin and then to die. But every person that Jesus healed, they all died, didn't they? See, the reason why this is so important is because we live locked into such a temporary kind of mindset. And we've got to look to heaven. We've got to look to the bigger picture and the bigger plan. See, walking through persecutions and sacrificing and laying down your life and giving of what you barely have becomes easier. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it becomes easier when you've got heaven in mind. When you realize that, hey, we're just passing through this life. And there is something absolutely beautiful that God has for us beyond the grave. And we thank God for the cross, because without the cross, there would be no victory. Without the cross, there would be no resurrection. Without the cross, there would be no power. Without the cross, there would be no one that would be in right standing with God. Without the cross, there'd be no one. There'd be no one. We'd still be living in our transgressions and our sins. We'd still be living away from God. But thank God for the cross. That's what Paul's saying in Corinthians. He's saying, but thank God for the cross. The cross made a way for us to be reconciled back to the Father. And it did that because it overcame and Jesus had victory over sin and death. And there's only one way to be right with God. And can I tell you, it's not by attending this church. It's not by being a good person. I'm pretty good, so I'm going to go to heaven to be with Jesus one day. That's not the message of the gospel. It's about believing in Him. You know, we started with some testimonies before, and I know they were about people's provision. And I started by saying, we are beneficiaries of the miraculous work of God in and within our community. And there are so many other more miracles that are going on. In fact, I think what would be really cool is if you could email us anything that happens miraculously in your life. Why don't you email us? Why don't you send us a message? Why don't you find someone to share it with? Let us know what's going on for you, because we'd love to know. Because the truth is, there are miracles happening all the time. We're just not talking about them enough. There's amazing things happening all the time, but we're just not talking about them enough. And I want to let you know today that one of the greatest miracle that's happened in my life is receiving the finished work of Jesus, is by receiving the gift of salvation. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. And it's my prayer today. It's my prayer today that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes. He's the only one that can do it. People think good sermons can do it and a keyboard playing in the background can do it. It's none of those things. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens the eyes and reveals Jesus to us. And it's my prayer today that the Holy Spirit would just open up the eyes of your heart. That you would begin to open your heart again to the work of Jesus. Because I want to tell you today that God loves you, friend, and that God has a plan for your life. But it starts with receiving Him. It starts with having your eyes open. It starts with you believing in Him. Romans teaches us that if I believe in my heart, in other words, it can't be a fake belief. It can't just be an intellectual belief. It can't just be something up here. It's got to be truly something deep within my spirit. It can't be because the preacher was compelling that Sunday morning. It must be because of the work of the Spirit that God is opening my eyes. What's He opening my eyes to? The beauty and the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of who Jesus is. Says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is who He said He is, then you'll receive salvation. You'll receive the free gift. And so if that's you today, we're all going to corporately pray a prayer. And I'm going to get you to repeat after me. We don't do this a lot here, but we're going to do it today. If you're away from Jesus, I want you to, and you know in your heart that you need to pray this prayer. I'm not asking you to be here next week. I'm asking you to open your heart up to the Lord again. I'm asking you to receive Him for the first time. I'm asking you to just open up your heart and do that today. So why don't we all stand to our feet quickly, and then we're going to pray. Come on, close your eyes and just say these words. Say, Jesus, I come to you today. I acknowledge that you are the Lord, that you died, and that you rose again. You did that for me. So today, I ask for you to forgive my sins, to change me from the inside out. And I receive the free gift of salvation and eternal life through the work of Jesus Christ. So right now, I declare, I say that I'm your child, that I'm in right standing with God because of the work of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, we're not going to call you down the front or get you to put your hand up. But I want you to have the courage today to maybe talk to someone about praying that prayer. Maybe you brought friends or family with you today. I want you to have the courage today to open up that conversation and say, hey, did you pray that prayer today, or do you want to talk about that? Because I really do believe that there are many people that prayed that prayer genuinely from their heart today. Amen. Amen. Hey, it is Resurrection Sunday. And not only is God has, through the person of Jesus, he has been resurrected, he still is the God that is resurrecting. And so right now, before you go, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And I want to stand in faith that God, the resurrecting King, is resurrecting you right now. So would you lift your hands if you feel comfortable to do that? And would you open up your heart? And would you allow the Holy Spirit just to touch you as we close? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, those thousands of years ago when you hung on that tree, Father, when you laid down your life, where you conquered hell, sin, and the grave, you made a way for us. Father, when you were resurrected back to life, you made a way for us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is not in word, but it is in power. And we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. We invite you to come and manifest in all kinds of ways in our physical bodies right now, through healing the sick, Father, through overshadowing us with your glory. We have a hunger and an appetite for your touch like never before. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the people that display your sacrificial love, that you would put visions and dreams inside of us to be the hand, your hands and your feet in our world today, that you would show us how, Father, to care for the prostitutes and the poor and the broken and the widows, Father, and whoever else metaphorically falls into that category. Father, help us to love our neighbors, Lord. Help us to love our families. Help us to love, Lord, the unlovable. Help us, Jesus, like you showed us as Prem shared, Father, to even love those that are our enemies. I'm praying today and I declare a blessing, the blessing of God over this church community. Father, not the blessing for stuff. That's not what we're interested in. Father, but I declare the blessing of God, the blessing of heaven right now, the blessing of the finished work of Jesus to be made, and a greater revelation of that today, Father. Lord, not the blessing of material possessions, but Father, I'm praying for the blessing of encounter with you. I'm praying for the increased blessing of knowledge of who you are. I'm praying for an increase in revelation and wisdom in this church. I'm praying for an increase in encounter with your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I thank you that these are Joel chapter 2 days where the old will dream dreams and the young will have visions. Thank you, Lord, that this is Joel 2 time where you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, Father.
on the rich and the poor, the men and the maidservants, Father. I thank you, Lord, right now, and I declare an explosion of nationalities within our church community. I thank you, Lord, for the multiculturalism that's already here, Lord. But I want to give you praise, Father, that you are building your church, an eclectic bunch of misfits that are radically in love with who you are, that would lay down their lives for the cause of Jesus. And Father, I'm praying right now that you would cause evangelists to rise up in this church community. I'm praying that you would cause evangelists to rise up. Father, let the fivefold in every aspect, Father, rise up within this church community. Father, I'm praying for the lonely right now, that they would feel connected and knitted into the body. I'm praying, Father, for those that are away from family, that they would find family in the church. I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God that meets our needs according to your riches in glory. And we give you all the glory, Father. The greatest need you met was the one where we needed our sins atoned for. You met that need, and we honor you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead. Come on. Just for 1 minute, it's Resurrection Sunday. Just for 1 minute, it's Resurrection Sunday. Go ahead and just give him the best praise you've given him for 2024. Can you do that? Can you move your feet a little? Can you put your hands together? If you can whistle, if you can shout, if you can scream, whatever you might think is a fitting praise, just go ahead and say, God, we thank you. Just go ahead and let your faith come alive right now. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you. Life's not perfect, but we thank you. Life still struggles, but we thank you. Go ahead on this Resurrection Sunday. We give you all the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus. Woo! Yes, Lord. Amen. I'm saving church for the end of church. Come on. It is good. Hey, we're glad you're here. So good to have you here. We're going to be here next week. It's going to be awesome. Hot cross buns and coffee and all sorts of things. Please. Last week we went through more coffees than we've ever been through. And so have patience with our baristas. Hang around. Do all those. There's some people that are like doing life hacks where they're like, I'm heading out in the altar call. As soon as the keyboard player gets up, I'm heading out to get my order in. Come on, somebody. And so just be mindful of our baristas. They do a good job and we really value them. In fact, if you want it to go faster, you can volunteer in that area. We'd love it. And if you want it to go faster again, you can buy us another coffee machine so we can have two coffee stations. And if you want it to go faster again, that would be miraculous. But enjoy the day. God bless you. If you want prayer, we're going to have some people come and be available. You just come and stand here. They'll come and pray for you. Parents, you can get your kids, and we'll see you then. See you next week.